Okay, hold on. Just cut that part out. We're starting over here. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
And you wave your hand again.
Electronic Santa Claus, the electronic Santa Claus, the electronic Santa Claus, the electronic Santa, electronic Santa Claus, the electronic Santa Claus, the electronic Santa Claus, the electronic Santa.
And welcome to episode 55 of I'm Trying to Think. We're back, and we're bad. I'm Chuck Werner. With me, as always, is Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hello.
We are bad, because what you don't understand is that we just recorded 4 minutes of episode 55. Dave pre-edited it, as in he said, that was crap, we're starting again. And I let him do that, you know? We started with a new song. This is Electronic Santa by Blazer Force. We started the first time with Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
Blazer Force?
Blazer Force.
I don't believe either that this song that I'm listening to right now exists or that Blazer Force exists.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. But what I can tell you is this, as a song that sounds like it was written by a robot, is about 1,000 times better than Wonderful Christmas Time, which is another song that sounds like it was written by a robot.
I agree, and this isn't even good, but no, yes, 1,000 times better.
Yeah, I really like that song, actually. That's my Christmas song now. Some people like their Silver Bells or their I'll Be Home for Christmas or whatever. Do you know, can we talk a second?
I guess we have to.
Last,
that's kind of what we're here for.
we talk, you listen, we report, you decide. That's actually probably less accurate. But I'll Be Home for Christmas, Dave, okay? It's a pretty good song, I'll Be Home for Christmas, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, you gotta give it credit for being, you know, one of the only, you know, Christmas songs released in the past 2 decades to just straight up become, like, a Christmas classic standard. Because most of those are from, like, the 50s and the 40s and stuff.
Can I just read the lyrics for the last verse to you?
If you gotta.
Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, Dave. If only in my dreams. Wait, what?
Well, it hits you at the end. It's sad.
That's bullshit.
It's sad. That's the secret about good Christmas
songs. Because
he
starts out with...
Christmas songs are sad.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. No, apparently I can't. Dickass. I don't know if is dickass a...
Wait, hold on. Are you saying he? Isn't that a Mariah... Wait, I'm getting it mixed up with All I Want for Christmas.
Oh, no. All I Want for Christmas... I mean, Mariah Carey... sings it, but she's not the person who singed it first. I don't know.
No, I think she did. I think she done sunged it first.
Is it? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it is. What do I know about it? But I don't even care about Mariah Carey. We're putting that aside. I'll Be Home for Christmas, Dave. That's a bullshit song. Moving on. My favorite song for Christmas time is Electronic Santa. And I say electronic instead of electronic because that's how Santa pronounces it in the song. Can I share some of the lyrics of that song with you, Dave?
I think you already did. I believe they were Electronic Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Santa Claus.
No, he says Electronic Santa is going to rock your body.
Oh, okay.
And then Electronic Santa is going to crash your Christmas party. Crash your Christmas party.
Oh.
That's a pretty good... I mean, I like that. Okay. That's... What I want the you know where so that song actually was on an album last year that Target made and was available for download free on the internet from the fine people at Target.
Yeah, I've got to say love free music and aren't super concerned about quality, man, Christmas time is a gold mine.
All right, Dave, that's a good song. That is a good song. That's just the way it is. Moving on, Dave. Let's move on. I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. You can find more about out about more. You can find more out.
Come about on, buddy, we're burning daylight.
Them at foundation-institute.org. You can find out more about us and our show at imtryingtothink.com or facebook.com/imtryingtothink or twitter.com/imtryingtothink. You should, and we discussed this earlier briefly, but you should petition your favorite website, be it Google or I don't know what are other NAMBLA.org. I don't know. You should petition them to make / I'm trying to think, you know, go somewhere. Either a fan site for us or just redirect to imtryingtothink.com. So google.com/imtryingtothink, amazon.com/imtryingtothink, nambla.org/imtryingtothink.
Why is that the third website you can think of?
I don't know. I'm just pumping Nambla.
Don't.
I've got
especially not phrased like that.
No, I mean,
it's bad to worse, man. Bad to worse.
I have to admit that I'd sell out to a lot of people, you know. If Amazon wanted us to talk about how awesome Amazon Prime is on the show, or if Domino's wanted us to pump their new pizza, which I actually did for free, and I got no pizza out of it, Dave.
Man, stop using the word pump.
So
just stop using the word pump.
Pump. I have to say, Nambla, I don't think I would.
Take their dollar?
No, I don't think I'd take it. That's kind of a shortcoming. I mean, that's, you know, we value capitalism in America, and I have to say, by not being willing to do that, I'm kind of coming up short as an American. I'm proud to be an American, but I won't take money from Nambla. Is that how that song went? I think
yes,
so.
Yes, pretty much.
So, Dave, it's episode 50.
Well, I've got to say.
All right, you know, you got to say it, so say it. I mean
music industry to... being, you know, you got to say hypocritical. I mean, the word hypocrites just did not roll off the tongue there.
Hypocritical?
You know, people being who they are, you know. I think, was it like only 3 years after that song that, is that Lee Greenwood who did that song?
Sure.
Lee.
Yeah, it's Lee Greenwood.
Yeah, I think wasn't he in NAMBLA, licensing it to NAMBLA commercials, like, within 3 years?
Proud to be a NAMBLAcan.
Oh, I'm not for that country.
NAMBLAca. You do not want to be, you're not going to run for president of NAMBLAca.
No.
But you could institute reforms, Dave. You could run as a reform candidate. Anyways, so Dave, this is episode 55. We're skipping 54. It just never escaped quality control, Dave.
It's in the can. It may come back at some point in the future, but it also may not.
I think there was a portion of it that was so awful that it actually drained your will to live as an editor of I'm trying to think because
that's why it's been 3 months.
Yeah, it never got done. Also, well, admittedly, okay, it's December 18th as we record this.
Correct.
September 16th was the release of the last episode, which was episode 53.
Also correct.
The Kong James Bible. Great episode. So September 16th, as it would happen, was 2 days before the birth of my daughter, Persephone. So that interfered with things a little.
Yeah, I think episode 54 was recorded on the night, like, mere hours before you went to the hospital.
Yeah, actually, it was. Episode 54
I think everyone was a little punchy at that point.
Was recorded on, I think, as my wife was in false labor, perhaps.
Right, yeah, there was that. Then, and I don't think I've mentioned this on the podcast yet because I can't have because of timing, but I like mentioning this every once in a while just to keep it on the forefront of my mind. Then you, me, your wife, my girlfriend, we all sat down and watched on the Discovery Channel, I Faked My Own Death.
Yep. Yes, we did.
Sat down to watch that. Then you went to the hospital to, you know, have to have a child.
Actually, that would have been the 17th. The 17th, because then the child was not born until the morning of the 18th. So we recorded on the 17th, published on the 16th. Child was born on the 18th, then we didn't do anything for 3 months. But I have a 3-month-old daughter, so, you know, there are upsides and downsides. And she will be a guest on the show as soon as she is able.
Well, she could probably pull it off now.
She could pull it off, but you got to catch her at just the right moment. And we just have too much to do. Episode 55, busy episode. So, Dave, I was going to propose that we apologize. We, you know, express our regrets. Perhaps partially at least, about the absence of episode 54, 55, etc., which probably should have been produced over the last couple of months. You made your feelings clear on that.
Yeah, I have no regrets, and I'm not apologizing to these people.
Yeah, I believe your precise words were, fuck them.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would say.
That sounds like something you would say. And normally, in this situation as it stands, I would be regretful. I would be apologetic. But I wanna harangue the audience if I can for a moment.
Yeah, that seems like your style.
You know what I have not seen over the last 3 months? A single email demanding, I'm trying to think.
No petitions.
No petitions. No online petitions. No, threats. No death threats. No, hate mail. No love mail. I don't really know what's going on.
Is love mail even a thing? That sounds filthy.
Well, if hate mail is a thing, I have to imagine love mail is a thing. And I just keep thinking of, I just keep in my mind hearing this song now. If you'll pardon me for a moment, Dave.
I won't, but go on.
Love mail, say that you love mail.
All right then, Cardigan's joke.
Cardigan's joke, but also, pertinent. There are people who say that the Postal Service will be gone within 6 months, Dave.
Wait, within 6 months?
I don't know. Some guy said that on TV. If you watch a lot of TV,
some guy on TV,
Dave,
says a lot of things. That's the thing about TV.
I have I work from home for a portion of my current employment, and I watch news networks because it's kind of just background noise that doesn't pull me out of what I'm doing, but kind of just... It's soothing to me for whatever reason. I like white noise, and talking heads on a 24-hour news network is the best white noise ever.
Certainly the whitest.
And then you just, but you do filter, things filter in, and you pick things up, like some guy saying, that the Postal Service will be gone in 6 months. And a lady this morning I heard say, they were discussing the death of Christopher Hitchens, which is a sad thing in my book, but... they were discussing the death of Christopher Hitchens, and she said that she had faith in faith.
That's super.
And she
That's super.
Dave, she is a Princeton professor.
Princeton professor of what?
I don't know. Doesn't matter. If you're a Princeton professor of economics and you're on a show and they ask you to talk about faith, you know what you should probably say?
No thanks.
I don't know anything about faith.
She might have been a professor of divinity or something.
Yeah, well...
One of those.
Do they have doctors of divinity at Princeton?
I don't know.
I hope not. That sullies the institution. I don't really care about Princeton, though, so I guess they can sully it all they want. Anyways, Dave, so you hear things and, love mail. We didn't get any. So pulling it all back. Yeah, fuck them. I mean, we're doing the show for free still.
Really, we're doing it for us.
We do it for us. I love it. When it's done. And actually, somebody told me the other day that, I was talking to them and they said they were actually listening to an episode right then. And it made me wonder, how far behind are you?
Rich back catalog.
I mean, we have 53 episodes or thereabouts up. But it's just startling to me that 3 months later, you haven't caught up? Come on.
It's a rich back catalog.
A rich back catalog. I think that could be interpreted as a little dirty too, Dave. I dated a girl in high school with a rich back catalog.
I mean, that just reminds me of that shitty Pink Floyd poster that every fourth person has in college.
Pink Floyd has a rich back catalog.
Yeah, that's the one. The shitty poster I'm talking about, right?
Are you talking about the one with all the Pink Floyd albums?
On the ladies.
Ladies, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's actually probably what that poster should be titled.
I believe it actually literally is.
Really?
Literally, correctly.
Wow.
They did not miss the opportunity.
That joke went in a weird circle where it ended up not being that funny.
Aw.
Because apparently we're making somebody else's joke the whole time. Anyways... So let's talk, Dave, a little bit about the future of I'm Trying to Think.
Sure, sure.
Because, you know, we haven't given up yet.
There are changes afoot. We're working on some things in the labs.
There are some changes afoot. I mean, I think one of the things that Dave just did some quick research. It's actually called Back Catalog, the poster.
Right.
Not Rich Back Catalog. So, I mean, okay, I guess there's no distinction there.
That is a distinction without difference.
Yeah. There's barely a distinction, so. Anyways. So, we're going to move to a half-hour format for I'm Trying to Think. But
Which means we're already more than halfway done.
Oh,
feeling achievable.
Yeah, you're making me feel good. You're making me feel real good. Here's a couple things about the hour format. It's long. It's long to listen to. You should see how long it is to record. It's at least an hour.
It's like half a day.
It's a marathon. Yeah, by the time you get things, and then we sit and talk about things we want to talk about. And let me tell you the basic process. Here's how it basically goes. What do you want to talk about? I don't know. Just make it up. Okay. And you know, I'm not telling you
that conversation takes like an hour for us, though, because we're really distractible.
Yeah, like, there's
pauses between those things.
We could have called the show We're Really Distractible.
That sounds right.
Yeah, yeah. The whole show could have just been called Distraction. It would have been multifaceted, you know, title, because A, the listening to the show is really a distraction, because, I mean, you're not learning anything. B, we're distracted. C, the show is a distraction for us.
D, this entire conversation is a distraction from what we were trying to talk about.
Right, right.
Which was, you know, our format change.
It could be called diversion, digression, distraction. Actually, I think every segment of our show could just be, like, every sentence we say could be classified as diversion,
one of those three things?
Digression or distraction, right.
All right, I think right now we're on digression.
Format, half hour format, Dave. Yeah, so we can produce probably a higher quality show. Certainly we can talk faster, which is good. We can produce more shows, hopefully. Maybe, you know, I'm not promising.
That's good, because if there's one thing I think we've learned over the past couple months, it's not to promise anything.
Okay, I take that back. I am promising you.
You son of a bitch.
I'm promising you all. I would like to do, it'd be neat if we could do maybe three shows on an average month. But getting two out would probably be an upgrade from what we've done thus far, in the last 3 months at least. I remember I had a goal in mind. You don't remember what that was, do you, Dave? I hope not.
I think it was two a month.
No. I said I would like to produce episode X by the end of this year.
I don't remember what it was, but
it's not happening. It's not happening. But yeah, so we're going to be moving to a half hour format. That just means for you, the listener, probably more shows, because we probably will have an easier time getting our asses together to do them. But it will mean a little less content sometimes.
Like, for example, I'm not going to name names or name episode names, but in episode 55, it's been approximately 20 minutes, probably a little less after editing, and we've talked about absolutely nothing.
But,
and that's 66% of the show you got right here.
Yeah. The back catalog poster print, a 36 by 24 inch poster print, Dave, Amazon.com, 85 cents.
A little overpriced.
85 cents. That's a good deal. That is a good deal.
I'd bargain them down to 60.
All right. Well, you know, I don't know if Amazon accepts best offer bids, but, you know, call them. Find out. And while you're at it, tell them to add / I'm Trying to Think
to their internet website.
To their internet repertoire. They could sell some I'm Trying to Think, as long as we get kickbacks. That was me taking a big old gulp of water. All right. Dave.
Yeah.
So we've gotten the business out of the way, all right?
Now the pleasure.
Oh. No, I don't think so. But
none of this podcast is that.
Do you have any pressing topics that you would like to discuss? It's been a while. I'm just going to throw some things out there that have happened in the last 3 months.
Well, I would just say, even cutting that off, you mentioned, I believe, the death of Christopher Hitchens. You know, this podcast has been known to get, you know, atheistical. He was a fairly prominent, you know...
He was.
...advocate for atheism in the media.
Yes.
Maybe we should talk about that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about that. I'll talk about it in this way. Let me talk about it by talking about what nonsense I saw on the TV today, this morning. I was watching the MSNBC.
All right, that's mistake number one, is cable news.
Yeah, you know, that's the only kind you get, really. I mean, like, you watching the ABC news or what? I mean...
No, I don't watch the news anymore. I read stuff.
You absorb it through radio waves?
Yeah, that's the definition too. Of reading, yes.
So anyways... So you have a panel of people, and let me just point out a few crazy things, okay?
Sure.
Crazy thing number one. I have faith in faith.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that a little earlier when we were digressing
here's
about.
My objection to that. A, it doesn't mean anything. Has no meaning.
It is a completely vacuous statement.
B, in the sense that it has any meaning, it is trivial. That's a nonsensical phrase. You can't have faith in faith.
It's one of those,
You're trying to say, it is one of the things that we've talked about before that Dennett likes to talk about, but I forget the term and...
Yeah, that's what I was saying when I just said it's one of those, it's the thing, it's the
deepity.
Statement that sounds deep.
Yeah,
that's
deepity
one,
is what he calls it.
Sounds
yeah.
deep, until you think about it.
Yep. So, yeah, it's...
Like a Jim Morrison song.
I'm your backdoor man, Dave.
Okay, that one actually does have a deeper meaning. I'll give it that.
Okay.
He got one. He got one.
He got one. So, yeah, it's just... I hate hearing crap like that. It shows a complete lack of understanding of the topics at hand. Second person lady on the show was saying that... People have to believe in impossible things or else there would never be any revolutions or anything else. Like, the people in the Middle East would have never toppled their governments because they couldn't believe in impossible things.
No, that's, I would say that is incorrect. The way I would say it is the people who, you know, do make, you know, significant groundbreaking change in the world... believe that things aren't impossible. There's
exactly.
a difference.
More to the point, revolutions are quite possible.
They happen a lot.
If history teaches us anything, it's that people can overcome government when government becomes, you know, an entity unto itself that is the enemy of the people. Yeah, come on. Come on. And B, like, if we could branch off into Tim Tebow, which is another thing that's
Was
happened
there an
over
a?
The last 3 months. I don't know.
You just went to B, but did we even have
Q,
an A?
Q-R-S-T-U-V.
Okay, we're going to have to make this quick, because one, I don't think anybody wants to hear about Tim Tebow anymore.
And
two,
three,
we don't have time for a wild Tim Tebow digression, because this show is tight.
It
tight
is.
Like a drum.
We're tight like a drum. So here, just quick, though. Tim Tebow, big thing in the news, too. And many, many other athletes, and many, many people who do many, many things across the globe, give credit to God when they do something, or any higher power, whatever they believe in, when they accomplish something, which takes out all of their accomplishment and, you know, the proper, you know, respect for the responsibility for their own actions and accomplishments, and B, completely diffuses responsibility when they do something wrong, or when they make a mistake, or when something bad happens to them.
Well, actually, when something bad happens, they never... I mean, that was like... That's why there was that Onion article years ago that is still hilarious, where, athlete blames God for loss, because that never happens.
Well, yes. I mean, that never happens that way. But here's how it happens, Dave, and it's because you can't just be mad at God for screwing you over. So you say instead, oh, you know, let's troll out the famous phrase here. And roll out, really, not troll out, because you can't really I mean, trolls could carry some things out, but I don't have any trolls handy, so let's roll out the famous phrase, when God closes a door, he opens a window for you to jump out of. I don't really get that, but anyways, the whole, like, idea that, you know, it's in God's plan, like, oh, well, a child died, you know, in birth, that's, it's all part of God's plan, that kind of nonsense. So let's, but let's move on from that.
The I don't idea know, that, one other quick point before we move on from that. It's going to be a quick point because we got like...
Because it's tight like a drum.
Tight like a drum. We got about 4 minutes left. I don't know. But anyhow, is one thing that's kind of interesting is, you know, people always, you know, credit, you know, it's part of God's plan. You know, they assume that, you know that and they feel that even though they don't understand that. However, I mean, the big guy himself, you know, in terms of, you know, Christian theology, says, you know, in his time of trial, oh God, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah,
something to think about.
Yeah, we could spend.
I'm just saying, if
now
he did,
with our new short format,
know, if he didn't yeah. know, maybe you shouldn't be so fucking certain. Religious person who's inexplicably in our audience.
Yeah, inexplicably. But we could spend now that with our shorter format, we could spend 4 episodes talking about the last words of Christ. You know, differing basically from gospel to gospel, but how each of them kind of weirdly impacts the religion.
Also, quick thing, mark this down, you know, we can't go on a riff about it because tight like a drum, but just a note for later, a good name for a Christian talk show, Gospel to Gospel.
Gospel to Gospel. All
explore.
Right, let's go with the third mistake I heard in this same, in a single discussion, roundtable discussion this morning, the other gentleman saying that he is a I don't remember if he said rampant or militant agnostic. And I think I've made this distinction here before on the show, and I believe this is an important one, which is that agnostic rejects the idea that one can know things about metaphysical truths, whereas an atheist rejects any, or has not accepted any claim of the existence of a deity. They're different. You can't say you're a militant agnostic and therefore both atheists and Christians are wrong, because, or theists in general are wrong. Because when I ask you the question, do you affirm a belief in a God, and you say no, because I don't know, then you are an atheist. That's just the way it is. I mean, you obviously cannot say that you're a theist, and it is a one or the other proposition. It is not a false dichotomy. It is a true dichotomy. So anyways, that's just mistake number 3 that I'm tired of hearing. But yeah, Christopher Hitchens' death, not unexpected. He's been battling cancer for quite some time, and he looks he looked awful.
Yeah, I mean, it turns out, I mean, you know, surprising no one, a lifetime of, you know, hard drinking and chain smoking is not conducive to not getting cancer.
Yeah, it's not great.
You know, it's unfortunate, but I mean, I think even he, you know, said for him, you know, it was worth it for him. And you know,
yeah, I mean,
okay.
It's a decision you make, and then you can't undecide it. So,
yep.
What do you have except accepting it?
Well, you can have, you know, rage at the universe, which, yeah. I mean, let's be honest, you know, seems like it. I mean, that's not an unreasonable option for Christopher Hitchens. It seems like, you know, rage at the universe, you know, could have been something he could have gone with and it would have been in character.
Well, Christopher Hitchens has described life, and I think this was once he found out he had cancer, as being launched from a cannon at a barn door. And you know, you just try to make the best of it. And he actually, I think he's used the phrase "live ironically," because it is you can only live ironically when you know that death is inevitable, because everything that you do is a kind of, well, it's a protest of the existential angst. It is, if we could revisit that topic for the 400th time, you know, when you live knowing that you're going to die. It's spitting in the face of, you know,
an uncaring universe.
Yeah, it's kind of thing. It's spitting in the face of mortality itself, because you know you're going to die, and there's basically no way to make a mark on the world that we are in that creates any sort of immortality.
No, I mean, there's your standard, you know, kind of, I guess, atheistical versions of immortality. Because one thing that is, you know, I think prominent in thoughts, you know, is even, you know, when people aren't religious and, you know, don't believe in kind of the convenient, you know, religious out for immortality, people still hate the thought that they die and go away. So then what you usually wind up talking to, you know, talking to people about or, you know, talking about is, you know, immortality through works, you know, is kind of one of the classics. And then, you know, the other sort of classic thing to talk about is, you know, immortality through, you know, the memories of your friends and others, and, you know, et cetera. And those are true to a certain extent, but ultimately, you know, everyone you ever knew will die, everything you ever did will be, you know, swept away, et cetera, et cetera. So in the long view, it does still come back to that kind of ironical living.
Yeah, it is, and that's how it is.
Man, atheistical and ironical. I'm having a word-ending thing right now.
I'm okay with you making up new words.
All right, good, good. I can say, tight like a drum. Tight like a drum. We got to wrap up.
We got to wrap up now. That's a shame, but that's the way it is with this tight like a drum format.
So, final thoughts?
You know, on Hitchens or just...
Final thought on Hitchens and then wrap up
the
show.
And then we'll wrap up the show. Final thought on Hitchens. What a literary wit, you know? Not every writer will write fiction on the level of, you know, the greatest works of fiction that can ever be read. And even the satirical cannot be Voltaire or... Mark Twain, where their work is appreciated outside of their time. I don't know if 20 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, if Hitchens' work will hold up. But as a man of the time that he lived in, what an amazing man. The speed with which his mind seemed to work, and it's possible he had worked out all these witty retorts in preparation. But to hear him debate anyone on any topic, the speed with which his mind could work, and the literary, you know, just gold that would come out of it without him having to sit behind a desk and write, just amazing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go on YouTube and look for any debate which included Christopher Hitchens.
I think actually one thing I was watching earlier this weekend that's actually a great classic is some of the stuff he did on, you know, on these shitty, you know, panel shows after the death of Jerry Falwell.
Yes. He did some great work there. He had been interviewed on Glenn Beck's radio show. I think it was Glenn Beck, but regardless, some conservative. I'm pretty sure it's multiple conservatives, but I'm pretty sure Glenn Beck was one of them. Listen to those. Those are great. And he is a man who was in favor of the Iraq War and is went from being a liberal in his youth to a conservative.
I mean, not just a liberal, like even a liberal. He was a Trotskyite.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, very literally.
Yes. He was a man. I disagreed with him on many points, but his ability to cut to the chase, and which is obviously not our great skill, his ability to cut to the chase, just amazing. So all credit to him. I found him fascinating. I will be sadder when we lose Daniel Dennett of the, you know, Four Horsemen, Dennett, Hitchens, Dawkins, Harris. And Harris. Harris will be the least sad for me because I think he does good work, but it's not great. And Dawkins is a biologist, but he's still a pretty smart guy. Those guys have done a lot for non-believers, and I we'll miss Hitchens' biting wit and his relentless assaults on the faithful. So it's sad, but that's life. Oh, and you know, there we go. I'm ruining the show with my phone.
All right, and then to that, I will add that, I mean, he talked about, you know, his sort of unrelenting combativeness. You know, he was certainly, I mean, you know, in terms of things that both served him well and, you know, to a certain extent were kind of character failings, is, you know, he was certainly, I would say, an asshole.
Yes.
And a bit of a bully.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was nothing if not, you know, he was intellectually honest and he was, you know, I mean, some of that combativeness was things, you know, was needed.
Yes, and one of the most amazing things about him is that that intellectual honesty, because he would happily concede points that people thought were game breakers in debates, because he knew that the real truth lied beyond that.
Yeah, that was the kind of interesting thing about him on, again, panel shows, is because what sort of he accepted, like, as the sort of, like, you know, hoity, you know, because he was definitely kind of, in a certain sense, he was kind of a hoity intellectual.
Yes.
Both in that sort of, you know, in kind of that British-y, you know, upper crust school way. And also, again, in his sort of witty, you know, like he had like the Dorothy Parker quip, or like, you know, the kind of historical, like Winston Churchill quippy kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he accepted sort of, you know, the cut and thrust of debate where, you know, sometimes, you know, the other guy gets one and, you know, the other guy's position has valid points, mm-hmm. but, or, you know, is not always wrong in every way, but it may be fundamentally wrong. In a way that, you know, like I said, on panel shows was kind of notable because they so do the opposite thing. There's just that awful, like, it's like two hammers hitting each other mm-hmm. debate.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
Yeah, he's very good. But let's move on. Closing the show, Dave. Welcome to the new format.
Mm-hmm. We're already running over. We're getting a handle on it. I think in most shows it won't be halfway through the show until we start talking about a topic. So yeah. that'll be better for us. We're making it work.
Yeah, but let's sum it up. You got any recommendations or any points you'd like to talk about over the last 3 months that we may have missed?
Recommendations. Things I'm watching right now. It's mostly BBC mystery series where it's kind of like almost a couple episodes that are mini that are like movie length, like kind of hour 20-minute, hour 30-minute episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Two that are good. There's the sort of modern Sherlock thing.
Yeah, which is, that looked interesting.
It's good. It's on Netflix Instant. It's written and produced, I think, by the same guys are doing the new Doctor Who. Was it a Stephen Moffat, guy who did Coupling and the new Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Martin Freeman from The Office is Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who plays Holmes has totally the Britishest name ever, which is Benedict Cumberbatch. And it's good. And then we've also been watching an older one, which is called Cadfile, which is totally a mystery show about a Benedictine monk in the 1100s. Solving mysteries.
All right.
It's pretty sweet.
Let's
see. You got anything?
Yeah, I started watching Terra Nova. It is bad, but fun. I'm really watching it because I want dinosaurs to eat people. And, you know, that's kind of the suspense, is there's kind of not enough dinosaurs eating people, in my opinion. So I'm always in suspense of, all right, when's a dinosaur going to eat a person?
All right, yeah. I had heard that was dumb, but I didn't know if it was fun dumb or dumb dumb.
A
little bit of both?
No, I think it's more fun dumb. But there is a little bit dumb dumb. But you know what? Jack Horner, who is...
who sat in the corner.
No.
Eating his curds and whey.
No.
We all know what Jack Horner did.
One of my paleontological heroes when I was young. I followed Dr. Horner very closely, and was a fan of his book, The Complete T-Rex, and went to see him speak, and he was technically the basis of the character in Jurassic Park, played by Sam Neill, but he disagrees with him on many scientific points. Anyways, Jack Horner is their paleontological consultant, so, as it turns out, a lot of the science stuff in the show is pretty good.
So it's bad fiction, but good science.
It's not bad fiction. It's just that there's a family element. Like, it's a family show. It's about a family. So it's just boring. Like, there's just aspects of it. You're just like, I didn't want to watch, you know, family ties or whatever. I wanted to watch dinosaurs eating people. There are elements of it where it kind of tries to be like Lost, but Oz obviously does so very unsuccessfully, and stuff like that. But there's the time travel aspect of it, which they just don't talk about, which is great, because if you try to talk about it, it's going to sound ridiculous, and it's not going to make any sense. But the actual dinosaur stuff, and even some of the like medical stuff, is pretty is close. It's close enough for you know, somebody who's a nerd.
All right, then.
It's like, oh, that's a believable thing.
All right.
Also, oh, Dave, I'm not done. I got actual recommendations.
No, fine.
Childish Gambino. His new album is great.
All right, Don Glover from Community. Yeah. Fun guy, good comedian.
Very
he does
funny,
the raps.
And the raps are good. The game Space Marine, you should be playing it or have played it. The new Star Wars Old Republic game, I'm not too thrilled with yet. Not too thrilled with it, Dave. It needs to step up the game and impress me if it wants me to take any time away and money away from World of Warcraft. And that is it.
All right, boom. That's a show. We got it.
It's a show.
Tight like a slightly all right, saggy drum.
All right. We'll be back soon with more, I'm trying to think. I don't think we will be recording next week because it would be Christmas. But who knows? Dave's Jewish. I'm an atheist. What the hell? Well, Dave's not Jewish in the sense that he's Jewish, so he's never had Christmas. There's no Jesus. Okay, well, the point is that neither one of us is you know, strictly beholden to anything. I celebrate Christmas as an atheist because it's fun. And Dave, do you celebrate Chinese food?
Yeah, Dave? Of course, because okay. It's delicious.
Yeah, because it's delicious. So I don't know. We probably won't record next week then, but in the future, we will record again.
2012. I'm trying to think.
It might be 2012 before we get another episode in, but if we're good, and if Santa gets us the right presents, we may be nice to the rest of you and do another episode. But for now, that was episode 55. I'm Chuck Werner.
And I'm Dave Stern.
That's Dave Stern. We will see you at a later date. With more, I'm trying to think. That was way too long into the thing, so I'll say bye again. Bye!
The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on, the feeling's here.
So the moon is up, and whatever, and that's enough? Like, what? Who's putting all these demands on Paul McCartney's Christmas?
It's just bad.
It's just a bad song.